Hello, everyone. Hello. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and you've tuned into Radiance by Design. And like I like to say every week, this is a show all about you. And why I say that is because we're all learning on this show how to move our energy fields, how to respond to life in such a way as to lift our energy fields and radiate consciously so that you and I can manifest. And a lot of the fields that we radiate come from past lives, from lineage, from all kinds of hidden things that we don't remember. And sometimes when you look at the printout of your life, like what's going on out there around you, why do you keep attracting people who can't stand you or 42 lovers a year or something like that, you'll notice that it's what you have programmed inside of yourself. You've either earned the right or you've decided that that's the way life is. So when you read what your printout is, when you read what's around you in your life, whether it's awful or great or a combination of the two, check for your repeated patterns. What is it you're seeing? Are you seeing the resonance of what went on in your childhood for good or not so good? Are you able to manifest the way you want to, or do you keep running into familiar reality checks? Reality is something that we've all learned in metaphysics is kind of a choice. It's an option. But it's something we have to create and design consciously. And like I was just saying, it's about getting in touch with programs that we've got hidden way down deep inside of ourselves. Those of you who know the chakras, they're kind of built into the chakra system, aren't they? And as you find out, well, by looking at your, you know, what's going on in your life, how your relationships are, whether you have relationships and so on, you can encounter all kinds of beliefs. Some of them are really goofy that are hidden in your body mind. It's so interesting. And this is supposedly the time of the great shift, supposedly the time in which our human collective, that is the grand total of the I like to think of it as the thoughts and feelings that are kind of the effluent of the changes of humanity through the years. And it's something that we all absorb, we breathe it in, we live it, we think our thoughts are our own. And this is another way in which we get, in quotes, programmed. And if this is a great, excuse my throat, I'm still dealing with that thing, and we're going to talk about that tonight too. But as we... Where was I going with all of that? If this is the time of the great shift, which we keep hearing about, there are going to be some very rapid changes which are going to affect how we focus in life and how we feel empowered or how we let ourselves empower ourselves in life. And it's going to be contagious because you're going to radiate consciously. You're going to send that radiance out into the world and hitch up with other people because people are, and we've spoken with Lynn McTaggart recently a couple of times, and as she's saying in her studies about the bond or that deep connectedness that we all have or oneness or Carl Kalman stuff on oneness or various other people who are teaching it, we all, we're so connected, and when we catch on to, for example, a lot of our programs being hidden inside and being optional once you can discover what they are. And when we choose to bring them up, sit with them, and command total release or however you change your energy fields, that pokes the people around you and they also can pick up speed. And then everybody can shift. And what we have heard, especially by people like Bruce Lipton and Candace Pert and so on, is that there's going to be a very fast shift in the collective, a very fast and sudden kind of shift so that people will live more and more in their own empowerment and not be so numbed out or so programmed by all these past things. I wonder what it would be like if we thought through some of the power issues going on, if we decided not to work on greed. And if I've got it, you don't. If you've got it, I don't. That kind of philosophy on the, instead of rugged individualism, we could call it the jagged individualism that has cost the collective quite a bit of peace, hasn't it, through the years. So let's talk about that tonight. Let's talk about what it would take to reach a time of spontaneous evolution. And by the way, and Deb O'Connor is coming at 7:30 to tell us what's going on in the skies, because she's the astrologer. But I want to remind us all that last week when we were talking, Dawn called in from, I think, South Carolina or North Carolina or someplace. I forget where she called in from. And I was speaking about how this cold that I've got, which keeps repeating itself from the Northwest here, where we're, a lot of us seem to have it, she's saying you're in denial because it's coming from the radiation flows from Japan. And I said I was in denial, that I had my head in the sand and I had not been tracking all of that. Now, what do you think about that? She also made some other points, which were that people need to be in the streets and making a fuss about the inequities that are being perpetrated by those that are in power, and the power being basically the old principle of if I've got it, you won't have it, and if you've got it, I won't have it. So there's a lot of swindling going on and powers out of control and so on. Anyway, she's saying that that back in the 60s, where a lot of us were very active, people hit the streets and started to raise cane over, for example, the Vietnam War. And I remember the women's issues and all kinds of stuff. We were rabble-rousing all over the place. Were you? I bet you a lot of you listening to this show were. And she made a point that when transcendental meditation was introduced by the Maharishi to the West, then it all stopped. And I didn't address that when she said that last week. But you know what? I don't agree that that's true. And this is something I want you to call in about. Because I believe, following through the arguments that even some of you have written about, and even what Deb talked about when she talked astrology, and she's also a 60s person, I don't believe it's the meditation that slowed down the 60s. My guides are saying that it had a lot to do with the drugs. The drugs are what kind of threw people into either a craziness or self-absorption that didn't really know where to go with itself. That's what I believe, and that whole denouement came of people going inside, starting off maybe with meditation, but the drug thing, you know, the marijuana and the acid and all that stuff, that was a real, I won't say narcissistic, but it was certainly a process of going inside and doing it within yourself and not considering the collective too much. What do you think about that? That's kind of an outrageous statement, isn't it? So anyway, 7:30, Deb O'Connor is going to call in, and I'm going to have you call in all the way through. You can even call while she's there and ask her questions if you want. I'd like us to do our meditation, our sacred geometric meditation, because guess what? I believe, and I think a lot of you do too, that we can empower the world and the movement of the collective and the spontaneous change in the collective and our ability to be multidimensional by doing very powerful meditations. And I do believe this, that when we do meditations simultaneously or together or as a group or as a community, we build up a much stronger force into the collective. What do you think? I'm going to have you call in right as soon as this meditation is over. But in the meantime, as I said before, unless you're riding your unicycle, close your eyes and deep breathe. Yeah, and let's do some work. Last week I tried to include specific places around the world, and of course I missed the tornado section or I missed the fires in Texas and so on. So I'm not going to do all that. I'm going to let you choose those things for yourself and just pick two things or something. It's just two. Both time-consuming and when I'm spaced out and in an altered state. I always like to say I'm in the altered states of America, which you're going to be too, right? In just a minute. You got to pick all these places, and you can talk about it after if you like. So let's see. Above your head, a golden ball. Below your spine, another golden ball. And drop your filament, your gold filament of light from the upper golden ball, and right down through your spine into the lower golden ball. And now from that upper golden ball to about waist height, a four-sided pyramid. And then that's about, I think the base of that is probably about 60 feet out or 20 feet out, whatever you want. And then upside down, meeting it corner to corner, with its point in the lower golden ball, another golden pyramid. So you have two pyramids together, and that makes an eight-sided structure, an octahedron. Now, inside of that, you have a crystal ball, and the outside edges of your crystal ball fit nicely into the inside edges of your octahedron. And I always like to see the colors in that crystal ball. It's a very feminine energy, and the colors to me are very, very radiant and beautiful. And inside of that, there you are in a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional Star of David. And now let's spin and spin and spin in your Star of David. Can you feel a little bit of spinning going on? And as you spin, look on the first screen. You've got a magical screen in front of you. And on the first screen, create a movie of yourself becoming. What is it you want to become? What is it you fantasize about becoming? I always say the same thing. I want to come from the heart, and I want to be multidimensional. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to me? That's up to us to put it in our movie. Okay, and when you get that going, whatever it is you want to become, when you really get it going, see yourself smiling, enjoying it, and now wrap it in light and move to the next screen. And on that screen, you're going to make a movie of what it is you're wanting to create. It doesn't matter if it's like a relationship or a home and family and child or a movie or a book or a world travel or space travel. It doesn't matter. What is the project that you're wanting to do? And see all the resources coming and your ability to create it. Oh, it's fun. And you have some stumbling blocks, but gosh, all kinds of things are answered, and you see it building and creating. And now you see the resources coming to sustain it once it's complete. Excellent. And now, excellent job. And then you smile, enjoy it, and then move on to the next screen, which is where we bring in the Galactic Healing Center and that team, the invisible team that works with you. Have the team stand round your healing table. And the first person to come onto the healing table, of course, is you. And you lay on the table and look around. Who's in your team? And as you lay on the table, the team will maybe work on you, or you can ask for what it is you want. And who's in your team? I see some really interesting characters in mine. That's right. And sometimes they'll tell you things that you want to learn about yourself. Job. And now when you're done, or at least when you're feeling energy working on your body, mind, wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And now we have a fresh table. We have a fresh table. And who is it you're going to bring in onto the fresh table? Okay. All right. This is an older woman who has a heart condition, and it's really serious. She has a tremendous amount of grief and a lung condition, so we're going to have her lay on the table. Yeah. And you have to tell who you've got on the table and see what it is they want to do. Now, interestingly enough, she seems to have... Okay, so they're working on her thyroid. And the thyroid is connected to the heart and the lungs here. Okay. And they're pulling out some huge constriction. She has a lot of fear in there. And they're pulling it out. Excellent job. And then sometimes what happens when they're working with whoever it is, you see the person become lighter and lighter and freer. Good. And now wrap that in light. it doesn't matter that it's not complete. You just wrap it in light and it will continue, and the team will replicate themselves to be at a new, fresh table. And here's a woman facing AIDS. She has AIDS. It's pretty severe. And I see her laying here and absolutely questioning her whole life. And she's got barely any energy. And I'm asking the team for the blessings for her. Let's see if they say anything. And who are you looking after here? Okay. Well, we must be doing something because I've just burst into this incredible sweat. It often happens in healing work, doesn't it? Yeah. And they're changing her brain around and they're pulling things out of her lungs. Yeah. And I'm asking that they'll continue that as we move that to the right. And then we're going to bring in a fresh healing table, and the team replicates themselves, but not only just themselves, there's layers and layers of consciousness. Each one represents many, many layers of consciousness. I think that we could say that about ourselves as well, but this team is really very attuned to healing, and we're bringing in several countries. Once again, we're going to bring in... Now, it seems like Japan is coming up with some really amazing unity amongst its people. But anyway, let's put Japan on our healing table again. And once again, we're going to surround it and let the healing team work on Japan. That's it. And I always see them bringing light underneath the whole entire islands of Japan and gathering in the radioactivity. And I haven't kept up with the news, but Bob told me that they're actually shutting down the whole concept of nuclear power, or at least it seems that's what their discussion is. But you know what's interesting as I look at it here today is that they're really doing a lot of work in unity with one another, and they make plans together. That's something we could learn, isn't it? Okay, so let's wrap that in light. And I'm just going to do a couple of countries because I know I'm going to miss some, and I'm just going to pick a couple, all right? And you can throw in as many as you know about and can work with. All right, so here's, I want to bring in Libya. Some incredible things going on in there today. And there's so much rebellion going on and revolution going on in the Middle East, it's hard to know quite where to look. So we're putting Libya on the table. Okay. There's a lot of bloodshed going on there. But you know what's happening? That there are a lot of people rising into their own power. There's a sort of a fervor of self-actualizing, of what would you call it, being real and not being just oppressed. So it's ugly in the sense of the bloodshed, but there's something very good happening. And now let's just take, wrap that in light and ask for guidance from these amazing beings of light that are around us, that have, as I said before, layers and layers of consciousness going way off into the universe. We're asking that they help resolve the issues in such a way as to empower many, many people. Yeah. And the other thing, let's do the thing about the Taliban too. That's sort of obvious, isn't it? Let's move that to the right and then have the table and have all those who are involved with the Bin Laden group, have them wrapped in light. And again, you know, there's, again, we're going to have the healing team work with them and bring peace and self-actualization to them. And there's so many more places. So let's wrap that in light. And let's ask for our healing team to support us as we call in some tremendous healing energy and healing light. I always like to go for the pink tonight. They're saying it's a lot more gold. And have it come in through the top of our heads and out our hands. And see yourself going and patting gold light in all the different parts of the planet that need love, protection, nurturing, replenishment, healing of any kind. A lot in Africa. You follow it all over the world where you know that the hot spots are and where the inequities are really tearing at people's fabric, people's lives. And we're having this healing team just bathe the world. Right. And then let's have that energy move round and round and round the planet so that it pulses off as a huge atmosphere that bathes all the people with some kind of healing and protection and light. And then bring it back through your hands and in through your heart and up through the top of your head and out into the great central sun. Okay, and now I want you to close off the healing, the Galactic Healing Center, and jump into your star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And here we all are. Here we are spinning together. Boy, it's really amazing. I'm so. Okay, I'd like you to call in. We have the number here. It's 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. What do you think about the issue that we talked about last week, which is our ability to empower ourselves to make a difference on the planet? What do you think about that? And what's going on in your life also? There's a number of you that are not feeling very well. There's a number of you that are feeling deeply stressed and freaking out about money. I just get a lot of people going through, I keep getting a lot of body pains. People are going through an awful lot of crises. And actually, in the last four or five hours, I've had calls from people all dealing with animals who are dying or animals who are sick. So what's going on in your life? Let's see how we can learn together to release the things, the patterns that might be holding us in place, and to actually clear patterns so that we can create the reality we want, and that we can also, here's another issue that's coming up with people, that we can feel the self-love that we want to feel in order to live a life of oneness on a higher level all over our planet, our tiny wee planet. So call in, otherwise I'm going to have to pick on you, because, you know, Deb will be on pretty soon, too. You can call in when Deb's on if you want to. All right, I'm going to pick on somebody here. let me see now. I'm seeing that there's somebody here. Oh, this sounds like a lot of people I know, so I'm picking on this woman. Tonight it seems to be I'm picking on all the women. And in any case, this woman has got so much going on her brain. She's got several kids. And she's working hard, and she can barely make ends meet, but she's working and working and working, and her brain is just like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, and she's just really frustrated and tired. And I'm looking at her going, come on, you know who you are. She's listening to the show. Okay, so you know who you are, and remember, we want you to all pay attention to this just for a moment. I want you to drop into the center of your brain. Take a couple of deep breaths. Remember, we have that wonderful healing, the Galactic Healing Team around us. Oh, goody, you're on the air. I'm going to finish this. Who is it? Is this Deb?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
I actually wanted to ask a question, but it's in line with some of the things that you were talking about in regards to the shift that's occurring right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that I'm one of the few people, or one of the people that's actually very sensitive to some of the energies that are kind of going on right now. And I've been reading a lot of articles about ascension lately, and they say that it's going to be actually coming to some of its final stages this month, meaning that a lot of us are going to be able to actually move forward, because I know that I personally feel like for the last few years I've just been kind of in a cocoon for a long period of time, and I'm really ready to move forward.
Good.
And I guess my question... Hello,
I'm here.
Sorry. I guess my question would be, do you see this happening for me soon, like moving forward as in like actually moving into this new job or profession that I'm pursuing?
I would say between, do you have to take classes, Lisa? Because between June and September, you refine and change yourself radically. And life gets a lot more empowered by September.
Really? Because I feel like it's happening right now. But
well, good.
It's going to continue to happen. That's great.
Yeah, but it is,
like,
actually.
Go ahead.
Do you know what the job is that you want?
Well, I have an idea. I know that, I mean, I used to be involved in theater heavily. As an actor, and now I'm interested in writing and directing, and so I've been writing a lot, and I would like it to be in that avenue towards either script writing or directing my own shows.
Okay, so it would make sense under those circumstances that your process could go on all through summer. It seems like there's something written. Then there's some kind of class, so that could just be refining it. And then in September, it seems like there's a huge jump forward, like a presentation. So I would say it looks really good for you, and I think your wheels click in, and you get some recognition, and you need that. But
yeah,
acting or writing for theater doesn't always seem that secure, and I feel like you're going to be doing something that brings you a lot more security, and you'll know that by the middle of the summer.
Oh, good. Because I just moved, and I'm like, okay, I have to have something steady.
Yeah, you're going to have
something that I can count on.
You have to have both things, because if you're doing something steady, but you're not self-actualizing, you will get very crotchety and very cocoony again. And I have to let you go, because I think we have another caller. Sorry.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Well, bless your heart. Keep shifting.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Hello, there's someone else on the line. Hello?
Hi, Veronica. It's Deb.
Hi. I'm so glad to talk to you. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Thank you. I've been listening to what you've been talking about, and I found a quote. Can I follow up on what we talked about last week, too?
Sure, I'd love to. Remind people what it is. Last week we had we had a little bit of an argument. It was great.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was an argument. I think it's a process of shifting, really. We were talking about what we'd been up to in the 60s and into the 70s and how much the kind of activism we'd been about then, politically and culturally. And we were talking about how that's shifting now. And I think one of the things we were talking about astrologically was the fact that in the 60s, in the mid-60s, the planets Pluto and Uranus were conjunct each other. And now they're squaring each other. And so there's still a call to activism and to creating some sort of really healthy community awareness, but that it's a different kind of... we're supposed to be acting differently, I think. And so I found this Gandhi quote, just kind of fell into my lap, which, and I think my argument was, and the thing is I don't even want to use that word because I really think that this Neptune and Chiron transit is teaching us to stop judging everything and to just basically be much more accepting, and I don't mean giving up, but just accepting of the fact that we really are held in the embrace of some sort of extraordinary divine energy. And if we could just get out of our own ways, stop talking so much about it all and thinking so much about it all and thinking that we have to do it, whatever it is. Here's a quote from Gandhi. He says, "As human beings, our greatness lies not so much in being able to remake the world, that's the myth of the atomic age, as in being able to remake ourselves."
Yay.
Isn't that beautiful?
Well, that is just a perfect response to what the discussion was. And you're right, it wasn't really an argument. It was points of view that made me think a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that we really are all, we keep talking about Uranus, we keep talking about Pluto, but Uranus is always asking for a new way to understand, a new vision, a reinvention of the paradigm. And so we're reinventing the paradigm of activism, I think, and we're, you know, understanding the word active as in acting, but, and it's not about, the thing about Pisces, Neptune and Pisces, the planet in its own sign, merged with the healer, Chiron, is that I really wonder if the healing isn't coming about in this sense of such acceptance. For me, the understanding, when I say acceptance, I'm saying not judging. Is that right? I mean, when you think about acceptance, how would you explain that?
I think of Lynn McTaggart talking about how the fellow who started Amnesty International has got people who are pro-life, people who are pro-abortion and against abortion, talking to each other in such a way that they now look after each other's kids, even though they hold tight to the tenets of their belief.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
But I think our beliefs, I mean, I keep thinking about the conversation we had last week on your show, and how it really was just several people, several really, really good-hearted people, all wondering how to take the next step. And we're coming from where we come from. And Uranus is helping all of us to keep taking the next step forward and the next step forward. And I think that when you throw Neptune into the equation, we're basically healing through our understanding that our judging mind is what keeps getting us in trouble, because it's always coming from a place of the experiences we've had so far. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't know what it doesn't know what the Iranian extraordinary alternative vision is.
When I use that example, I think of acceptance as saying, okay, these are points of view, but I can hold them both.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is we can hear each other, I suppose, acceptance for me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what they were talking about last. Well, I don't know. Keep talking. I was just going to say, doesn't Pluto push us to become more authentic?
That's Uranus. Yeah, Uranus does. Pluto pushes us to go into our fear baggage and basically plow through the things that are making us incredibly uncomfortable, because we can't quite figure out what they are, but they're making us afraid. We can feel the fear. We can feel the shame. Let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. But we don't know, because Pluto's always working beneath the surface of things, always way down deep in our subconscious. But, yeah, Uranus always wants us to find a new way to go about whatever it is. And so if you put that together, a new way to go about the Neptune piece, the healing piece, is to learn that, if you were just talking when you were doing the meditation about mm-hmm. all the beings that surround us, and you said the most poetic thing, you do this so often. Do you remember what you said when you were talking about the dimensionality? You know, you said something about, so it's something that we can't really understand with our human minds. You didn't say that, but you implied that. Do you remember what you were talking about?
I don't remember at all. Just my vision is that it's just layer after layer after layer of consciousness, and it works with us.
Okay, well, if you're talking about layer after layer after layer of consciousness, you're talking about something that transcends what the human mind is used to thinking about, right?
Yes, indeed.
So you're talking like Uranus, and you actually have Uranus conjunct your sun, so you're always talking like Uranus. I've told you this many times. You are Uranus in a way. So your Uranus living in Pluto's house. So you're always bringing, you are. Your Sun and your Uranus live in the eighth house, and that's Pluto's territory. So you bring this Uranian perspective of a new way of understanding every moment, always looking for the next step in consciousness, that's Uranus, but coming through the deep, deep, deep sub-realms of the, in the eighth house, you can connect to the collective subconscious, not just your own. So you're doing the work of both these planets and all the rest of it. You were just born doing this work. And all the rest of us are working right now on this square between these two to understand how we can do both. How we can both find our way forward with this new understanding of consciousness at the same time that we keep stripping away, basically dropping away from old fear patterning. We can't go forward with consciousness until we drop out of the fear. It's a conundrum. And then you throw the Neptune piece in, which is this unconditionally loving, incredibly mystical spaciousness that doesn't have any judgment in it anywhere. Neptune and Pisces doesn't have any judgment in it. And it's merged with Chiron, which is healing us and healing us. Don't you feel like more and more and more people are listening to themselves go on about whatever the issue happens to be in their point of view? I mean, I get like this and just wanting to say to themselves, just be still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, aren't you tired of hearing yourself say these things? Are you getting that from people? More and more people just wanting to just find the stillness and not hear themselves blather on so much about everything?
Well, I haven't had that experience, but what I have had is a different way of getting peace, an amazing peace at some of the people that I've been working with the guides these last little while are so frustrated and angry and then so peacefully transcended in a short period of time. It's like the mechanics of it is very fluid and very, I don't know, to me it brings tears to my eyes sometimes. So shocking.
Well, we keep talking about all these planets and Aries and the anger that comes up around that, but at the same time, that's just a piece of the puzzle. And with all these bigger, more powerful and intense energies working to help us keep transcending, the anger is really just like, it's like a, it is a piece of the puzzle, but it doesn't have to be the piece. Mm. I didn't say that very well, but what I mean is it's like the impetus toward the shift. Really angry. Right?
So it can be it can be the engine, right?
Yeah. Yeah, or the caboose, either way. But it's the thing it's bringing our awareness to the fact that there's this jangliness and this anger and this whatever, this discomfort going on. And I still think that as soon as we're aware, just like the minute we become aware of what we're feeling, bingo, the shift happens. Don't you feel like that, people?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. That's a good way of putting it.
And Uranus is bringing the awareness. That's the thing.
Hmm. And you're saying the Neptune Pisces is so flowy and deep that it can move through, is that it can move through these changes?
Yeah, well, I think that Neptune is the word deep is has several meanings, and it's Pluto that we should probably use the word really deep, because Pluto is always going beneath the surface. It's one of the reasons there are all these earth changes, because Pluto has so much to do with what's underneath the surface, oil and the earth shifting and earthquakes and all that. So Pluto's in Capricorn, it's the last earth sign. There's all that. But Neptune, which has to do with the oceans, also has to do with the ocean of consciousness and loving kindness. So Neptune doesn't have any judgment. There's no judgment in there. Sometimes when I talk about Neptune as an archetype, I'll say it represents the divine heart, the cosmic heart. It's way beyond what we humans talk about when we use the word love. It's bigger than that. It's more spacious than that, because it basically holds everything in its embrace. It's that compassionate.
And that's ultimately what acceptance is holding everything, isn't it?
Yes. And knowing that we're being held, and I think the last piece is believing against, I keep saying this, against all the information that's coming at us, that this light net is actually holding us. And I've gotten to the point where I just don't even want to argue with people about this anymore when they want to argue with me or tell me that I've backed too far out of the world and I should be paying more attention to world events. And I just think that each one of us has to do what we have to do. But for me, it feels now like the Neptune and Chiron piece is really asking us to believe that there's something happening that we can't see or understand. I mean, you get this when you work with the I Ching a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
That we just have to trust the invisible world with everything we've got. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't be eating our spinach. You know. That doesn't mean we should be running down dogs in the street. But do you know what I mean? I don't know. Doesn't mean we should
That's
vote.
Very interesting. So if we cycle back to the thing about we should be in the streets, you're saying we should be in the transcendence of our personal power, that the changes can be wrought through us. Is that what you're saying, Tony?
Yeah, and I think we can go to the streets after we've made that kind of transcendence out of the rage. Because I remember when we were thinking about going into Iraq before we did, and I was still living in Montana then, and we had about 25 different peace rallies in the space of about 2 months. And there were a lot of people there who were just enraged, and sometimes I was one of them, over the fact that we just couldn't even believe that something this stupid was going to happen, and we were going to use this excuse and, you know, to try to get another country's oil. And now I think the difference is that if we take to the streets, it has to be with a real sense that we're not against anything. You know, I think we all did it during that, the sort of all the different peace marches that we did, 60s, 70s, 90s, 2000, whatever, that the peace, that it was still a them against us thing. And that's the thing that the Neptune and Pisces is teaching, is that there is no them.
Well, that's
now, once again, I'm really conscious of taking up too much time. I hope people will call in, and I'll just get right off the phone if somebody does.
Well, people should call in, because this is a really interesting subject, and it's also, I think many, many people concern themselves with, okay, well, what do we do when we see the inequity and we see the injustice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I still love that old slogan, think globally, act locally. And I think it sort of aligns with this Gandhi quote, which is that we are totally powerless going out into the world to help with the inequities if we don't understand how to find balance within ourselves. There's a hexagram in the I Ching. Can't remember. I think it might be 50-something. Anyway, it's called the family. And the very simple metaphor is, in order to change the country, change the state. In order to change the state, change the something, the city. In order to change the city, change the family. In order to change the family, change, you know, yourself. And it's like Little Russian stacking dolls. It basically is saying, ultimately, if you want to change the nation or the state, first, you have to make the kinds of shifts in yourself that allow you to go out there and really know what justice is.
So you're not going out. We do have a caller, so I just want to say this and see if this is right. So we're not going out just to create reactions or express reactions. We're going out to hold a light and a center within ourselves that's balanced. Right?
Yeah, and there's a little tiny segment in the Tao Te Ching that says, you don't even have to look out your window to be filled and to meet the Tao.
Yeah.
So we can go out or not. I guess that's the point. We can go out and wander around in the streets or not. Or we can, Anyway, I'm going to get off so that someone else can talk. But
thank you for calling in. Somebody has just called, so we'll see who that is.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. You are on the air. Welcome to Radiance by Design.
Hi, Veronica. It's Beth.
Hi, Beth. How you doing?
Good. And I'm really curious about everything that you guys have been talking about. And I heard last week also.
Oh, good.
And my feeling is that we, at some point, we realized, you know, with the economy and everything else, that we had to kind of focus on ourselves or focus on surviving almost. And I think that there is a shift coming. Like, okay, like, you know, like in the 80s is like when it kind of happened. We started getting a little greedy and we thought everything was going great and all the protesting had worked. And then all of a sudden it crashed. And so then we had to focus on ourselves and surviving and stuff. And we're still doing that today, but it's in a different way. And mm-hmm. I think that people are letting go of all of that money and material stuff, and they're going within. And I think that's what Deb was talking about all of the stuff. Does that make good sense?
Yeah, you're making good sense, and I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right. And I think it's
yeah.
crucial. Huh?
Yeah, yeah, and I think that it is. I think that it's, like she said, like people are going to, it's almost like their self-worth, like people's self-worth is coming up higher. So then when we do go out and we do protest and we do bring something out there, it isn't so much anger that we're bringing out there, but we're bringing more a positive protest and more of a positive light and showing people how grand it could really be if we just stop kind of the negative side.
If instead of you or me, it's you and me. And oneness is a big, big subject these days. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. That's kind of how I'm feeling. And the thing is, and then when you were talking about this, I could totally relate to this. Oh my gosh, when you were talking about how if you look around your world and see, you know, your personal world, and you see stuff, and it keeps happening, then you could, you know, whatever you have in your world, you'd attract it, right? Isn't that kind of what you were saying in the beginning?
Yep.
Okay. And so that's something I've been looking at. I woke up this morning and I thought, okay, I'm not happy with this. So apparently I attracted it. So then I think, okay, then how do I get rid of it? Like, how do I change it? And I guess...
do you want me to answer
that? I know
you
talk a lot about meditating.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of helps it.
But also, if it's something, if you pick a thing that you're looking at and you go, I don't like this, I want to change it, and say it's, like, give me an example. Is it about relationships?
No, not there yet. I'm not going there yet. This is about basically acting also, just not booking. I have tons of auditions, but not booking. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's my energy that's kind of putting it out there.
Yeah, you're not connecting. I just want to say, okay, so you said, what do I do? I would say to you, okay, call it up inside of yourself and tell everybody at home, I want you to do this exercise with me. Take a look at something. Beth is choosing not connecting, not getting acting positions, even though she goes out on auditions a lot. So the assumption we make is there's a printout. We back up inside. Ask yourself where that is in your body, the fact that you're not connecting to your jobs. Where is it in your body? Can you feel it?
Well, my first thought would be my stomach.
Okay.
Like my belly.
In your belly, yeah. So
isn't this weird? Intestine.
Yeah. Well, that's where I would have put it too. So I want you to do this, like go in there and feel it and ask what you feel underneath it. See if you feel anything. You feel fear? Do you feel a kind of an isolation feeling? There's something funny in your feelingness that's kind of... Just ask your body, well, like, what do I feel like underneath it? What's the feeling that makes my intestines roil right now? What's underneath?
I feel anxiety. Nervousness.
And in that nervousness, is there a need to isolate? Or another question, is there a fear of the people out there?
I don't think there's a fear. I'm normally not scared of people. unless they have a gun, no, I'm kidding. I don't know. Maybe...
There's a feeling underneath that. There's an anxiety. And I wasn't sure. I think it's a combination of revealing too much. I don't know, something funny about revealing too much of yourself or asking yourself if you're capable or any good. There's sort of a self-protection under the anxiety. The anxiety is there to warn you, and then you protect yourself underneath it. Do you see what I'm saying?
I don't know, you're saying
I'm not afraid of people, but there's something in you that's pushing away those connections and protecting yourself. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
And for everybody at home, I don't know what you're picking up on, but it's interesting because underneath whatever the feeling is, whatever your issue is, you'll get a feeling underneath the reaction. You have to stay pretty calm to find the anxiety and to find what's underneath it. And you get a funny little headache. Did you feel that, Beth?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah.
I feel it right now.
So all I'm saying, and I'll have to get off here, but all I'm saying is exaggerate that. Say, I want to feel the, I say this to my guides, I want to feel the whole dang thing right now. Come on, bring it up, bring it on. And when it gets really uncomfortable, you ask your angel, say, I command total release, take this. And over, when you do that goofy exercise with whatever's printing out in front of you, it's amazing how things begin to shift, and you'll see it in the printout, you see? Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah.
It's just an energy exercise. And I know that you can do this because you're very sensitive, but I know also you have this self-protection way down deep that might send you in the opposite direction so you don't have to encounter it. And that's not because you're weird. It's because that's what human beings will do.
Right? Yeah.
Do you understand?
Okay, yeah.
Well, big hugs to you. Thank you for calling in and being on Global Radio with us.
Thank you.
Okay. Night, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So that's interesting. We did a little exercise there, and it's always delightful to talk to Deb. She's so poetic and so well-read and so smart about astrology. And I didn't give her material, which is Deb at Love Dog Design. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, well, Jackie and the team are going to be back here at the top of the hour. I don't know what they're talking about tonight, but it's going to be good because Jackie's on a flow of having better health, and she's going to be really glad about that. And we missed them last week, and some of you might have listened to the rerun, and I didn't, but I'm looking forward to seeing them tonight and hearing them, so tune in. Now, next week on Paradigm Shifters, I think I have Dwal Kool through Kathleen Kingdon. But I may not, because she's been moving and we haven't made the connection. So I'm not sure who's going to be on next week, so stay tuned. If you've got feedback for me on this show, and I had some great feedback from last week's show and I really loved it, so just email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Or if you'd like a session with me and my guides and angels who are really helping to move people through this shift, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. And thank you so much for being a part of the community of Radiance by Design. Let's take a deep breath, bring in the love, and breathe it out to one another. Many blessings and good night. Thank you for tuning in.